We could talk about how complicated other banks make it to redeem credit card rewards, like how they require minimums, and worse, how their rewards flat out expire. Or we could talk about how with Discover, you can redeem your rewards for cash in any amount at any time. I mean, talk about amazing. And now that we've talked about that, let's get back to the Rich Eisen Show. You know, the stuff we talk about here. Learn more at discover.com/redeem rewards. Terms apply. This piece of filet mignon.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
There's no comeback story for me. I've always been here. I've been living my best life.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
You know, he didn't urinate down his leg, man. That's a great place to begin.
Mike Tomlin's a national treasure, folks. National treasure.
The Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show, Jets cornerback Sauce Gardner. Co-founder of Merging Vets and Players, Nate Boyer. Still to come, Celtics point guard Marcus Smart. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hey, hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. We already chatted with Sauce Gardner of the New York Jets and Nate Boyer, whose beautiful film MVP is in theaters near you tonight. If you missed any of that, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. And there's also the Roku channel for you. We're seen there every single day as you are watching, hopefully right now. On any Roku device, any Fire TV, Samsung Smart TVs, all have the Roku channel right there for free. Same thing with the Roku app. You get the Roku app on any mobile device. We're free there. The RokuChannel.com is for you desktop internet lovers who want to watch on a desktop or on a laptop. Guess what? We're free there as well between 12 and 3 Eastern. And then if you are watching on the Roku channel, also channel 210 all day long. We just keep on keeping on. So if you missed the first 2 hours of this show and you're tuning in right now on the Roku channel, stay put. As soon as it's over, hours 1 and 2, just pop on. And basically, we're unavoidable. Odyssey, as well as this terrestrial radio affiliate, screw it, I'll just say it, during this show, received the paperwork from SiriusXM.
Oh,
gonna go do the old
nice
sign or DocuSign,
yes,
and I'll let you know the information in very short order. We're gonna be all on right there, if not later this week, then next week we're back.
That's
and we're
news.
Back, Mortimer.
Great news. We're back. It's great news.
We're back. So that's the way we're rolling right here on the Rich Eisen Show. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We'll take your calls. Marcus Smart of the Boston Celtics
Marcus
calling
Smart.
In.
Marcus Smart.
Well, let's check in with him.
Love it.
Training camp right around the corner, trying to defend
season
their conference title.
Season is very soon, Rich. I'm so excited. I got the calendar. I've been, like, circling dates. I put, like, little shamrocks in the corner of every day. I'm, like, crossing it off.
A lot of good seats still available in Fenway Park last night, too.
Excited.
It was really strange for a Yankee-Red Sox series, seeing a lot of empty seats.
Well, that season is definitely.
And then, you know, but the Patriots season's not over. That's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah. No, stop.
Please stop it.
Stop.
We're marathoning, Chris. We're not sprinting.
Not
we're marathoning.
Sprint,
we're marathoning. We're marathoning.
We people.
We're marathoning.
I'm overreacting still.
Understood.
Overreacting.
Understood. Understood. So when I left here yesterday, I saw this hit my Twitter feed and, you know, all the internet sports website news stacks. Headline was Nathaniel Hackett, head coach of the Denver Broncos, the man. Who's the the first time head coach in his first time game as a head coach. Talk about unique circumstances. Russell Wilson is his new quarterback. In case you need the backstory, he used to be a Seattle Seahawk. and the
really?
NFL schedule makers, zero chill. They put him in Seattle in game one of his Denver Bronco career, right back there in front of the 12s. And Russell knows this, and I'm sure Nathaniel Hackett knows it too. But until you're there, until you go to Seattle, now known as Lumen Field, where I guess they have waffle parties during breaks there as well.
At least.
That's a
Severance joke.
Reference.
Rich, I got it.
Oh, thank you, sir.
I'm sorry.
But just like Severance, a lot of crazy stuff happens in Seattle. I mean, like, you feel like you're in a different planet. It's loud. The stadium is just different looking. And then crazy-ish happens in Seattle. And night games, too. My gosh. Fans are going crazy. You can hardly hear it. Refs are blowing a whistle to blow a play dead, but you can't hear it. And you're right there next to a whistle. It's wild stuff. And of course it was a wild finish. It's Russell Wilson's first game back in Seattle. It's Seattle at night. And just the last minute, you watch it over and over and over again, and I just couldn't believe with a running clock after a third and 15 nets them about 10 yards, 11 yards, or third and 16.
Yeah.
It comes to fourth and five. And you got three timeouts left. I'm like, absolutely burn a timeout. Go back, talk it over. That's the end of that. But it appears that they made a decision that if they got to the 64-yard line, the 45-yard line or better for a 64-yard field goal or closer for Brandon McManus, they were going to kick it. So when the clock's ticking down, you're wondering, why are they just letting the clock tick off? It's because they were going to just drive field goal and then make it and give no time left for Seattle to answer. And then, of course, when McManus missed it, the second time after missing it the first time that didn't count because Pete Carroll called a timeout, and you're taking Russell Wilson off the field in Seattle, it still doesn't compute a day later. And this is, again, a coach who was the offensive coordinator for a Packers team whose head coach took Aaron Rodgers off the field for a field goal to turn an 8-point game into a 5-point game in the NFC Championship game, and the entire ensuing offseason was, does LaFleur not believe in his quarterback or what? And that was in their first foray together, LaFleur and Rodgers. And obviously their relationship has withstood it and gotten stronger. And it's still a very successful relationship. And the same could be said for Nathaniel Hackett and Russell Wilson. But it still is a head-scratcher. So the headline was Nathaniel Hackett now thinks they should have gone for it.
Yep.
You know, with full 2020 hindsight, right?
Yeah.
Or, you know, thinking about it now, maybe I made the wrong decision to kick it.
Here's the
soundbite of what appeared to be in the headlines and the articles, a mea culpa from the coach.
Yeah, you know, looking back at it, we definitely should have gone for it. Just not, you know, one of those things. You look back at it and you say, of course we should go for it. We missed the field goal. But in that situation, we had a plan. I mean, we had a plan. We knew that the 46 was the mark. We were third and 15, I think, third and 13. I'm more upset about that play before it to lose yards, to be able to, you know, getting that there would have definitely been better to be able to call that same play and get extra yards. But he dumps it out to Javonte. Javonte makes a move, goes a lot farther than I think we had anticipated. We were expecting to go for it on fourth down. And then you hit the mark, you know, the mark that we had all set before we started. We said 46 yards. 46-yard line was where we wanted to be, and we got there. So we had to make the decision if we wanted to give it to our, you know, Brandon, and we did. And it didn't work. It sucks, but hey, that's part of it.
That is not a mea culpa, folks. That is not a guy who's just like, boy, that was a bad decision to go for the field goal. I should have left my quarterback Russell Wilson out there since it's, you know, Russell's return to Seattle, and that's we got to show our belief in our quarterback. I should have let him cook. No. That, you know what that sounds to me when I heard it for the first time? That sounds to me like, again, I don't know the question that was asked. I'm assuming it was, did you think differently about your decision after missing the field goal? And we're going to play that soundbite again. It sounds like to me he's making a joke,
right?
Of, yeah, now that I know that we missed the field goal, I shouldn't have taken Russ off the field. And he kind of waited for the laugh to come, and that laugh line didn't land. It's what it sounds like to me. And then he starts going into his response about what their plans were going into the game. Take a listen. I think that's what this is here.
Yeah. You know, looking back at it, we definitely should have gone for it. Just not, you know, one of those things. You look back at it and you say, of course we should go for it. We missed the field goal. But in that situation, we had a plan. I mean, we had a plan. We knew that the 46 was the mark.
That's what it sounds like to me right there.
Right.
And the plan is the problem. That's the problem. And he did make, you know, an interesting case that it was the second down play that caused them to lose the yardage.
It was actually first down. So they
first down play.
Yeah. So at the 2-minute warning, they get the first down. It was third and two. They get 9 yards. And so with 1:24 to go, it's first and 10 from their own 49, so essentially midfield. And Russell Wilson throws to Javonte Williams, and he loses 4 yards.
That's the one.
And it sets up 2nd and 14. Russ is incomplete. And then 3rd and 14, obviously, he gets 9 yards.
Right. So he's pointing out, like, if the first down play got positive yardage, then the third down play would have netted them the first down or closer to the first down, and right. clearly they would have gone for it or been closer to the mark. Right. That's the whole idea. And I understand you have to have a pregame plan, like you say to your kicker, when, you know, what's the furthest away that you are confident that you can make it? And he's just like, yeah, 64 yards, which is fascinating to me because he had never made one from that distance or even 60 plus. You know, we had that graphic to lead our show on Tuesday. And it's kind of like, okay, McManus, like, really? That's your mark? Because I guess you must have felt it in pregame snap. His previous 64-yard attempt that he had made from that actual yardage was 2019. He missed it. Missed from 70. He's missed one from 63 and two from 62. As a matter of fact, prior to him, 38 different attempts from 64 yards or longer got missed in the history of the NFL.
Rich, one thing.
So hold on a second, and then you can jump in. I'm just saying the plan was terrible. And that, you know, not every, and again, it's his first foray at it, but, and the hindsight is sure, he missed the kick. And if he'd made it, we'd be talking about, well, that was an interesting way for Russ to finally get his first win as a Bronco. But that's not the way it went. It's Russ's building. He's back. He has a chance to get you 5 yards and get you closer for a much more manageable field goal. It doesn't matter what your kicker said or as Mark Schlereth said when he appeared yesterday, okay, Ray Finkel, we don't care what you have to say, how far out you can make it. We got Russ here. We're going to go for it with him.
Police is out.
And so I thought when I read that headline, mea culpa, he understands or he gets it. That's just like he's waving his game plan at everybody like at Hoosiers. And I think, you know, I'm not saying this means he can't coach and he's not going to be successful and the Broncos are screwed. I'm just saying that everybody, the headlines and the stories were written like this was a teachable moment for the first time head coach in his first game. And to me, I don't think that his teachable moment is to tell everybody, I've got a plan. I know what's going on with this team. And I made the call and it sucks. It didn't work out. So it goes. And I just hope for the Broncos' sake that he and Russ didn't just get off on the foot where Russ is like, okay, you know, am I going to be allowed to cook here or what? And can he, because that was a teachable moment for LaFleur. Did you notice how many times they went for it on fourth down the following year when Rodgers was back? Not like Brandon Staley-esque, but LaFleur took something out of that, which is like, okay, 12. It's your show. And he's won 2 MVPs since that moment, by the way.
Yes.
Back-to-back MVPs. I just found that interesting. I heard that soundbite. I'm like, no, that sounded like a laugh line that didn't land. Trust me, as a former stand-up comedian, I know what that sounds like. So what were you going to say, TJ?
Well, I mean, you know, yeah, he missed the kick, right? But what Chris and I were discussing today is what no one's talking about is how close he came to actually making that kick. It was,
it's not a distance thing. I mean, the guy's got
the leg. He was just to the left, barely.
Yeah, overhooked it a little bit.
You know, another 5-6 inches, we're talking about something different. He almost made that kick. He didn't make it, obviously.
64 yards, though. I mean,
so far.
It had to do something for his confidence, too, just to know that he had that much leg.
That's great.
You know, and maybe he'll get that chance again later in the season.
That's great.
That keeps him out of the playoffs.
That's a good point.
As far as I'm concerned, you know, you need to, you've acquired the guy. I mean, it's obvious. You acquired the guy. You're paying him all this money. He's your guy. You go with the guy.
He's marquee.
You go with your guy. And if it doesn't work, it's just like, hey, you went with your guy. And after the game, did you think of kicking it? Well, you know, that was the time and that was the distance where, you know, McManus was saying it. But you know what? I mean, I'm riding. He says, let's ride. We were riding. It just didn't work out. Play didn't work out. And he had a terrific game. 340 yards. We're going to be great. Okay. We're going to be fine. You know, it's a tough spot for you to play your first game in period, let alone to coming back here. And we'd have all been like, got it. But he thought this was the best way to go about it. And I'll tell you what, keep a pin in that one because Everybody else has got to play Seattle in that division. What do you think? The rest of the division is going to go 3-0 against Seattle?
Yeah, probably.
You know, everybody's talking about Seattle less than, and nobody's really talking about Seattle's win and how Geno looked. We're all talking about that decision more often than not. I mean,
but this,
shoot,
this
we're talking about it a day
Seattle,
later.
This
as
is
such.
Also Seattle's Super Bowl.
Seattle is at the Chargers and at the Raiders, which means, one of these is, they get Vegas in. That's it. All right, the Chargers, and they're at Kansas City. Vegas is the one that's got to go to the 12s.
At Chargers, that'll be
and that is
game.
Week dozen. It might be a chilly day too. It's going to be loud, man. What a home field advantage they have. Can't even sometimes hear yourself think in there. Kansas City's the same way. I don't want to piss off the rest of the Chiefs fans. Also there.
Everybody's
talking about loudest outdoor stadium. Very, I mean, it's insane.
Very sensitive.
Loudest place I've ever been into where I couldn't hear was the Superdome. Indoors night game. Everybody's swing oil all day.
I went to a preseason game in Seattle in 2014.
One of the loudest outdoor stadiums.
We're in the third deck.
Yeah.
Couldn't hear the person next to me.
One of the loudest outdoor stadiums ever, and so is Kansas City. You know, when they say the home of the Chiefs, and they say Chiefs, it's just, you, first time I heard that, I literally was, whoa. Did a plane fly overhead? All right, we'll take a break when we come back here on the Rich Eisen Show. Marcus Smack of the Boston Celtics will be joining us here. He's got a very important issue he wants to talk to all of you about and make you aware of. And then Chris Brockman's week one MVP race. It's never too early.
Never too early.
Never
guys.
Too early. When you're drafting your fantasy team, do you ever wish you could do the same thing with your business team? Of course you wish that. If you're building a roster to win your league, you need Indeed. Indeed is the hiring platform. Oh, my goodness. This is going to be it. When you're drafting your fantasy team, do you ever wish you could do the same thing with your business team? If you're building a roster to win the league, you need Indeed. Indeed is the hiring platform where you can attract, interview, and hire all in one place. Find top talent fast with Indeed's suite of powerful hiring tools like Indeed Instant Match, assessments, and virtual interviews. Instant Match in particular, awesome. You're going to love it. Candidates you invite to apply through Instant Match are 3 times more likely to apply to your job than candidates who only see it in search, according to U.S. Indeed data. Indeed knows that when you're doing everything for your company, you can't afford to overspend on hiring or spend too much time on it either. Visit Indeed.com/richpodcast to start hiring now. Just go to Indeed.com/richpodcast. Indeed.com/richpodcast. Terms and conditions apply. Cost per application pricing not available for everyone. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. After all, who doesn't love a great deal, right? And when it comes to great rates on insurance for all the things in your life, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners, condo, or renters coverage. You could save even more with a special discount when you bundle your coverages. Plus, add the easy-to-use Geico mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more. And choosing to switch to Geico becomes an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote or contact your local agent and get started seeing how much you could save. Back here on our terrestrial radio network, TJ Jefferson just revealed the fact that he's on camera wearing his Jordans has in fact resulted in free stuff from Nike, and Chris Brockman is irate.
I mean, you figured he'd be happy for me, but I went to him 3 years ago and said, this is what I, because I'm big on manifesting stuff.
Are we a team here or not, Rich?
There is an I in Rich and Eisen, but there is not one in show.
We're a team.
But you also can't spell ish without sh.
Are we a team?
I think we are. And so, you know, it's fortunate that I'm not as into the shoe game as you are, because that's a lot of pairs of 13.
Yeah.
size 13s, you know, 10 and a half would look good too.
It would look good if I was able to like put an order in. I didn't put the order. My friend, like I said, thank you, Kathleen. She asked me what was my size. She
Brockman,
goes, she had a friend.
Oh, this is great.
I mean, when you thought you were friends.
How can anyone be mad at me?
Yeah. Like, can we be happy for TJ?
No.
See, that's the difference.
Happy for you, TJ. I think it's great that you have blossomed in the role that you have ruled the corner of our set since we had you grace our audience every single day. I think you have ruled it. You have your own style. You have your own panache. And I think it is terrific that you have done so many great things with it. And it is now culminated in you getting free stuff.
I have no explanation for what happened.
That you haven't shared with anybody.
Well, how can I share with anybody? Like,
because we're not size 13.
I didn't know this was really coming.
Oh.
You know, I go home, I show up, and it's there.
Well, I mean, how did she get the address?
Well, I've been friends with her. She's
okay. So then, can you say, hey?
Oh, nah. You see, that's
you know. Well, now you're a schnorrer. She's the phrase. The schnorrers. You don't want to be known as a schnorrer.
Well, I don't know. I got to talk. I don't. Like I said, I don't know who sent this. She was just like, let me see, because she used to represent Jumpman years ago.
Let me see what I can do.
This is where we need Larry Day.
No. I mean, that's 1, 2, 3. That's seven pairs. Seven.
I mean,
wow.
Wear them proud, TJ.
Are you wearing one of the new ones today?
Oh, no, not today. No.
No, you should have. I mean, that would have been.
Wow.
So this is what you had.
On Monday?
Chris, you're right over there? Do you need a hug?
He is not. He's like.
He's shutting down. Chris, you can't shut down. Marcus Smart's about to call him.
I mean, he's not happy.
Marcus Smart.
But I'm just saying, thank you to the people, because she happened to see clips where, like, fans would call in, a couple guys commented on the sneakers. And she was like, let's see what I could do for you. I couldn't even have asked for shoes for anybody else because I didn't even really know I was getting them.
Now you can, though, right?
I'll see. But like I said, I don't know the person at Nike. I don't even know who sent these.
I don't need them. Get them for him because we can't have him shut down.
Well, maybe I would. But the fact
that
he's going
to shut it down. He's already shutting down.
Well, the fact is, if he had shown like a little bit of joy for me, then maybe I'd be more likely to go, hey, Kathleen. Man. But the fact is, he like right off the bat was just angry about
this.
Like,
is the business we've chosen.
Yeah, I mean, Hyman Roth would say that is the business we've chosen, which, as you know, is free, it's me. That's called swag. Yeah. But although swag means stuff we all get, and not, what is this? It's S-O-T-J-G.
Stuff only.
Stuff only TJ gets.
Look, man.
That's Sotjga.
Wow.
There's a game, right? You can hate it, but don't hate the player. Like, I didn't ask for this.
This is a player move. Don't hate the player.
Hate the game.
How's it? But what did I do to be hated?
No, I hate the game.
Just not by not having a close-up camera shot. That's all I did.
Guys, we need to.
Wow.
Hey,
to hell with what the show looks like, it's all about me.
Hold on a minute.
I don't even know that.
This sounds a little bit like the Celtics season last year.
Oh. Yeah.
Where there was apparently.
Some rift or
dissension in the locker room amongst the ranks. Mm-hmm. Team meetings were called. And then best foot forward, I guess I shouldn't use that phrase right now, occurred. And then championship quality material unfolded.
Only to lose on Emmy night.
No. I'm just trying to be positive here.
We were nominated.
I'm trying to be positive here. Because joining us on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line is the defensive player of the year of the National Basketball 2021-2022 Association season of the defending Eastern Conference champion Boston Celtics, Marcus Smart, on the Rich Eisen Show. How you doing, Marcus?
Oh, I'm great. Thank you for having me.
My family loves you, Marcus Smart. I bet you hear that quite a bit. I bet you hear that a lot.
I actually do, and you know, it's crazy to hear that, you know, little old me, that people in the house love me. So
what do you mean? What is that kind of, what are you talking about? What do you mean, little old you?
I'm just a young dude from Dallas, Texas, man, that had a dream one day to play professional basketball, and then one day his dream came true to play for one of the most prestigious franchises in NBA history. So means a lot.
And that is what you're doing. So who was your guy growing up? Who did you want to model yourself after, Marcus Smart?
You wouldn't believe me. I actually played football before I actually played basketball, so I wasn't really a guy that was like, I have this guy who I'm looking
really?
Up to modeling my game after. It was just, I just wanted to be a good basketball player.
So you were from Dallas, Texas, and you were more of a football guy than a basketball guy, Marcus Smart. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so then I have to ask you, I don't mean to mess with the Boston Celtics. Can you play quarterback right now?
I can.
In Dallas?
I actually play quarterback, wide receiver, safety. I played a couple positions, but I could definitely play quarterback. I could definitely. I know my Cowboys ain't doing too well. Sorry, though. Just give them some time.
Okay. No. Look, they could use your – so you played wide receiver and defensive back? Is that what you're saying? Is that what you said?
Yep.
Okay.
Yes,
defensive back, I think they got that handled. Okay. Yep. Wide receiver, they might be able to use your ability, Marcus Smart. Quarterback, definitely. They could – what was your game? What was your game? Big arm? What, you had legs too? You run, pass? What do you got?
I had it all. I could run, pass. I had the legs. I could read the defense. I was tall enough to see over my lineman. So I could get the ball out. I needed a lot of time. But I had it all.
Okay. How many other Cowboys fans are there on the Boston Celtics right now, Marcus?
Probably – to be honest,
yeah,
that's a good question. I know. I think I know two for sure.
Who else? Who else?
But I have no clue. I don't really. I try to stay away from that because the Cowboys are very touchy subject, especially here in Boston.
yeah, that is it. Patriots, you know, Patriots versus Patriots are the team there. You know that. Okay.
Exactly.
Okay. What was it like? It was neat for me to see this, Marcus Smart, but to have Gary Payton surprise you at practice with the Defensive Player of the Year award was awesome for me to see. What was it like for you to live, Marcus?
Oh, it was 4th of July. It was ridiculous. It was fireworks because of how they did it. It was a surprise. I didn't even know who won the DPOY award.
Mm-hmm.
My teammates left. And then Ime Udoka, Coach Ime, was like, I need you to stay real quick. I need to show you something. I'm like, all right. And then when I walk out, everybody, the whole organization there, and then Gary Payton is there to hand it. So I couldn't believe it. It was a dream come true to not only get acknowledged for what you do and you pride yourself on it, but to have the one guy who you've looked up on that defensive end and who was the previous recipient of this award before you were, and who opened the door for guards to even have an opportunity to win this at his size. So it was incredible. It was an incredible feeling.
Right, I know. And then you're going against the Sun. Then I think it was all over, the whole Gary Payton thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, the whole glove thing, mitten thing, all that stuff, that goes out the window.
Exactly, goes out the window.
Yeah, when it actually came down to it. And so, so much of a conversation, Marcus Smart, last year about where the Celtics were and how they got to where you wound up and how there was quite a journey going on behind the scenes and there was a lot of team meetings. What are you willing to share with us about what did happen for a switch to maybe get flipped for the Celtics right around the turn of the calendar year, Marcus?
For us, we became more stable, you know, after the trade deadline. Guys kind of became more like they knew exactly if they were going to be here. If they weren't, they knew exactly what their roles were going to be. I think early on in the year, we had a new coach. We had new guys. We were trying new guys. Nobody really knew exactly what was a sure thing. And I think that hurt us. But once we clarified that, and then just settle down. You know, everybody was anxious to prove to everybody what they could do, to prove to the world what we can do. And sometimes it came back to bite us. Instead of just letting us do what we've been doing all whole lives, it's work, let our work come in and do it and let the game do it for the talking. Once we settled in and calmed down, it actually started to show, you know, and then we went on that run. But it wasn't pretty, and I think all things – great things, you know, they don't start off pretty at all. So it was definitely rough for us, but I think once, like I said, once we settled in, everybody knew kind of what was a sure thing, that it made everybody's lives a little bit better.
And then what about the coach? What about Ime Udoka when he started selling, and then when do you think you started buying what he was selling?
So he was Ime Udoka, Coach Ime, he was selling from day one. As soon as he got here, he was, this is how things are going to go, this is how we're going to do it, this is how it's done. And it wasn't like, all right, if it didn't happen, you know, some coaches would be like, all right, it's not working. No, it's going to work. It's either going to work or you're not going to play. So this is how we're going to do things. And it wasn't just with one player. It was the whole team, from the guys to the coaching staff. And it kind of gave us a sense of, you know what I'm saying, like relief that, okay, he knows what he wants to talk about. He's not coming out here looking scared, afraid, nervous. And so he's going to give us confidence to do the exact same.
How was he different from Brad Stevens?
Brad is a more laid-back guy, you know. Killer smile, you know. Can't really stay mad at him. Where Ime, you know, he doesn't care about your feelings too much. He's going to let you know exactly how he feels and if you did wrong or right then and there, no matter who's looking. So with him, he's more in your face a little bit. He's more aggressive than Brad, which, you know, he's a player himself, so he gets it. He understands it. And he understands a little bit more of how to get the most out of players and what to say, when not to say things, and how to say them.
Yeah, I couldn't have guessed that about Coach Udoka when in the Game 3 huddle he told you to stop playing like a-holes right to your face. Couldn't pick up on that, right? You know?
Exactly. That's Coach Udoka.
What happened in that? I mean, how did you take? Did you guys at least laugh at that when he said that to you? Or it was just too intense because, you know, it's kind of like the NBA Finals. What was that like?
No, I mean, it wasn't. You didn't lie, but you definitely agreed with him. Like, you gotta get it together. Like, come on, guys. Like, you know what I'm saying? So
that's one way to express it. That's one way to express it to the team. I heard that. I'm like, whoa. Okay. I hope he's got the pulse of the team, because that can sort of turn people off. That's what I think he did. That's pretty. It was just neat to watch. You know, Horford going off and the way that he went off, and then to see the team get together. And Tatum obviously doing what he's doing with Jaylen Brown. But I do have to ask you, Marcus Smart, how did it land with you, the rumor that the team was looking to trade for Durant and Jaylen Brown was part of that deal a few weeks ago?
Well, for me, yeah. I mean, my name has been in trade talks ever since I got here. So I really couldn't think too much of it, because I've been doing this a long time. I know how it goes. I know the tricks and everything. So I couldn't really take it seriously, because I didn't know how serious it really was. Like I said, you hear it all the time, but I mean, it definitely would have been cool to have had Kevin Durant. Like, I think any team and anybody tell you, like, yeah, like, one of the best players in the world, like, of course we want on our team. But at the same time, Jaylen Brown, who Jason, those two guys are young, upcoming superstars, and we just made it to the finals. So for me, I was glad, you know, like I said, would have been ecstatic to have KD, but I'm glad we still got Jaylen and Jason in the team and the core that we just went to the finals beyond everybody's expectations after starting the year the way we had. Why not running back? So I'm like I said, would love to have had KD. I think anybody in the world will tell you that. But I think anybody on this team also tell you that we're also happy that we still got the team that we have.
I thought Marcus Smart for a second, like, maybe it wasn't that serious. And if I'm the Nets, I am definitely let everyone in Boston in your locker room know that Jaylen Brown was offered to us and we're just sticking with Durant. I would want to lob that into your locker room 1,000%. And I'm wondering, how is that going to affect you guys? Do you think?
It's my job to make sure it doesn't.
Marcus Smart here on the Rich Eisen Show. All right, let's get into this. Why are you talking about blood stem cell and the blood stem cell registry? I give that to you, Marcus Smart. Definitely. What you're doing with Aflac?
So for me, you know, I partner with Aflac and did a match to, because of the reason. It hits home with me. Everything that they're doing, it was personally affected in my life. I lost my mom 4 years ago to bone marrow cancer, and I lost my oldest brother about 15 years ago to lung cancer. So I've been affected by the cancer and the blood diseases. So for me to be able to know that, you know, that it's people out here that are going through the same journey that my mom or my brother or somebody else is going through without the education, knowing that, you know, especially in sickle cell, that, you know, the donor or the match, being able to get match is only 29% in the African-American community compared to our white counterparts, and which is outrageous, because everybody has a chance to deserve to have a chance and opportunity to help, to find a cure, to be able to have that cure found for them, and to be able to have somebody be able to have a match for them. So for me, to be able to get people to be aware of, you know, cancer, sickle cell, and other blood-type diseases, to be able to join the registry by just swiping your cheek and joining that registry, becoming a donor, because you never know who life you might be able to save.
And it's as simple as just swabbing your mouth. That's it. You swab your mouth, you join the registry, so then your profile is somewhere. Somebody needs a match. They're hoping against hope that there's a match out there. Somebody's family's life is on the line. And boom, you go to the registry and you could see there's a match. It's a simple swab. That's it, right?
Simple.
And just one swab could save a life. Go to bethematch.org for more information on how to donate and be part of that. I'm sorry to hear about your family history. And it's as simple. I lost a dear friend to bone marrow cancer as well. And it took him forever to find a match. It took him forever. And it would have been much quicker had enough people actually swabbed and been part of the blood stem cell registry. It's that simple.
Yep. And I think another thing people need to know about this, about joining the registry, and the reason why it's so important to get people in that registry, is because the only way that kids, adults, or anybody who's dealing with these type of blood disease, such as sickle cell or cancer anyway, that the only way for them to survive is through the transplant itself. That's the only way. So I think by letting people know that, how critical it is for us to do our research, to educate ourselves, to go and at least see if you're a match, because this is literally the only way to save the lives that you're hoping to save.
Amen. Again, for more information and to donate, go to bethematch.org. Marcus Smart, I hope this is the first time of many. Look for my call during the season. Let's talk.
Would love to.
You know, even if things aren't going well, I'm not going to call you guys a-holes. You know, I'm just going to be nice. I'm just going to be just welcome you in with open arms. You know, that's what we did.
I would like that a little bit. You know, I like that a little bit more. Sometimes, you know, he may go for a day-hole, so that's good.
Okay. Yeah, he can upgrade. Somebody can upgrade his language. Okay, I got it. I look forward to that. And again, I might have to reach out sooner if Cooper Rush doesn't do the gig very well. Maybe they really are going to have to reach out to you, Marcus. That'll at least get you out of training camp.
Right, exactly.
You know? Take care of yourself, Marcus Smart. Thanks again. Truly, you are a joy to watch for so many people. And Brockman, you want to just give him a little hello for the Celtic fan that's right here?
No, I just want to thank you, Marcus, for help bringing back the Celtic pride. And appreciate everything you do. Appreciate your game, even though everyone gives you a hard time on social media. But us in Boston and us out here worldwide, we love it, man. Keep it up.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. Thank you for everything.
Okay.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for the support.
Look for our call during the season, Marcus Smart. Thanks again for the 2 cents here.
Yes, sir, will do. Thank
Marcus
you.
Smart at @smart_ms3 on Twitter, right here on The Rich Eisen Show. A delight, an absolute delight.
The best.
Talking to Marcus Smart.
Love that guy.
And to the rest of the Eastern Conference who would like to get past the Celtics this year, your Philadelphia 76ers
are
one of them,
man.
Right there. I know, no question about that. To that fan base, I say last time I had Chris Brockman address somebody who's really loves
Whoa,
his
hold on a
fan.
Second.
That's a good point.
Everything
went south.
Very, very south.
Hold on, hold on.
Like a couple years they haven't
recovered,
right?
It's not my birthday today, okay? You didn't surprise me. This interview with Marcus wasn't a surprise.
It was scheduled.
We knew it was on the docket.
Nevertheless.
For like a week, okay? And Syracuse football is 2-0.
He's got a good point.
Okay. So,
took 3 years.
The curse of the Brockman's been turned on. Dino Babers has survived. He's still there.
still there.
Very few can survive the break. Ziggy.
When your college football team actually has a quarterback, it's amazing. Garrett Schrader, my man. Let's go. Keep it up. At home opener, Purdue this week. Let's go.
He's really good, right?
He's really good.
Is he good enough to make you swear off Georgia football?
Come on, Rich.
What does that mean? I don't know what that means.
Let's take a break. You come back. Chris Brockman has his, your MVP watch?
MVP
list?
Index.
Your index. Oh, MVP index.
Is Micah Parsons on this index?
The MVP index.
There is a defensive player, though.
All is it right. Micah?
Coming up next. Hey, when was the last time you seriously considered your dream? I mean, come on. You used to think about it all the time. What happened? I say it's time you and your dream get back together. Think about it. You could live the van life in a totally customized Mercedes-Benz Sprinter. You could tour around all 423 national park sites, build a mountain cabin with your dad, or start your own business. Really, whatever you dream up. And it's a Mercedes-Benz van we're talking about here. So expect innovative safety features like crosswind assist and blind spot assist. Expect amazing performance and reliability with an MBUX voice command system, a 5-star dealer network, and an available gas engine. It runs like, well, a dream. So what do you say? Head to the Mercedes-Benz van dealership and get that Sprinter. Tell them your dream sent you. We could talk about how complicated other banks make it to redeem credit card rewards, like how they require minimums, and worse, how their rewards flat out expire. Or we could talk about how with Discover, you can redeem your rewards for cash in any amount at any time. I mean, talk about amazing. And now that we've talked about that, let's get back to the Rich Eisen Show. You know, the stuff we talk about here. Learn more at discover.com/redeem rewards. Terms apply. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show on the 37th anniversary of the Golden Girls, we have had, may he rest in peace, Alan Thicke on this program saying, he told us, I had no idea, he wrote that theme song, The Different Strokes. He sang it.
The world don't move. So I just got 11 cents for singing that.
That's just Alan Thicke right here.
He wrote a lot of theme songs, right?
He wrote a lot of theme songs. Yeah.
When he sang the first few bars of, give me one more time. He's a great.
Well, the world don't move. So I just got 11 cents for singing that.
Yes. Fantastic. Yeah, so many people love the Golden Girls.
It was
to this day.
Gigantic.
Still. When was the last time you watched an episode of Golden Girls?
Probably about 2 weeks ago.
Wow. 2 weeks?
It comes on, I forget the channel, but it comes on at night.
So he wrote the theme songs
Alan Thicke.
For 10 TV shows.
Oh, wow. What else did he write for?
So here we go. I found a list here. He wrote, obviously, Different Strokes. He wrote Facts of Life.
You take the good, take the bad.
Wizard of Odds. Joker's Wild.
And a triple.
Celebrity Sweepstakes. The Diamond Head Game. Animal Crack-Ups. Blank Check.
Well, as we all know, though.
Wheel of Fortune.
Wow. I didn't know they had words.
Damn.
Wow.
Nobody, though, the number one theme songwriter, television theme songwriter ever is Mike Post.
Mike Post.
Yeah.
Mike Post. Just yesterday, I tweeted out the Rockford Files, greatest theme song ever. I saw you responded with Hawaii 5-0. Mike, don't at me. Best television theme song ever.
Played in every bar mitzvah and bat mitzvah and party and wedding.
It's a poll question, Chris.
You made my point.
That's right. That was huge.
You made my point. You just also played every bar mitzvah and bat mitzvah and wedding. It's the electric slide. It's the electric slide played there, too. Forget it.
Come on.
Get out of here.
Man, do you want to hear this Mike Post list?
Oh, no. It's disgusting.
Please have at it, sir.
It's disgusting.
Rockford Files, Hill Street Blues, Magnum P.I., Law & Order, The A-Team, L.A. Law.
He wrote for all the Pachko shows.
Yeah, all of these. Code Quantum, Sonny Spoon, Wise Guy, Doogie Howser.
Yeah.
Wow.
I played Hill Street Blues for my piano lessons.
Oh, man.
I did.
I'd have been watching this show in
60 minutes. We'll be coming up following football.
In 85.
Followed by murder.
Comma.
She wrote.
Thank you very much. Well done.
So I'm going to do that as a poll. Better theme song, Rockford Files or Hawaii 5-0.
Do it.
That's a good one.
All right.
We're in the right demo.
Chris Brockman, to play us out.
Let's do it.
Let's finish up today's show. Chris Brockman, you'll be doing this. Are you doing this weekly?
Every week, because we're going to overreact a little bit.
Very good.
And then at the end of the year, we'll narrow it
down. The most valuable. You have a drop for this? There's a drop for it?
Oh, yeah. Let's go. Here we go.
Most valuable player in.
I'm about to start the MVP campaign.
Rockman's NFL MVP Index.
Brought to you by the fact that the NFL season, every Westwood One NFL broadcast is streaming live for free. Mondays, Thursdays, Sunday nights, Thanksgiving, and Christmas triple headers. The international series in every postseason game. Chris, you have the floor.
Rich, I think your head was down while my graphic
was up. Did you not see
up.
That graphic?
You put the, Mike, if you want to put, the, if you want to put okay. the graphic.
I saw it.
You didn't see that I was Bill Walsh?
I saw it.
No he's reaction.
He is the All right. Great reaction.
All right, NFL MVP Index coming to you every week. We'll go 5-1. We'll count it down, TJ, because that's how you like it. Number Thank five, you. Guys, defensive player, Chargers, Khalil Mack.
Oh, boy.
3 sacks, dominating performance against the Raiders in week one.
Terrific.
Half of his sack total from a year ago, where he only played 7 games for Chicago. Khalil Mack was awesome. Also had 6 tackles and 4 QB hits. Number four. TJ is going to add him in fantasy this week. I had to do it. Carson Wentz.
You put my business out
313
there.
313 yards.
Out of here.
4 touchdowns. A comeback victory in the fourth quarter. In the fourth quarter, Rich, according to ESPN, the Jaguars had an 85% chance to win the game in the fourth quarter. Did they win the game?
Well, the reason
and it was because of Carson Wentz.
Well, the reason why the Jaguars had that percentage at that point in time in the game was because of who?
That's not my point. My point is Carson Wentz.
ATN.
It's week one. It's week one, guys. All right, number three. He might still be open and running for a touchdown. Justin Jefferson, 9 catches, 186 yards, and 2 touchdowns. He might very well be the best receiver in the NFL, as he claims he is. He's number 3 on my list. And the top 2 guys, I have a feeling these are going to be the top 2 guys probably just about every single week. But I'm not going to get sick about talking about them because they're awesome. Number 2, Josh Allen, 297 yards, 3 touchdowns. Oh, if that wasn't good enough, 56 rushing yards and a touchdown for the Buffalo Bills. Josh Allen, really good at the football. And number 1, Patrick Mahomes. The guy's unbelievable. He's got one hand, 360 yards. They just scored again, 5 touchdowns. He's going to do it again tomorrow night. He's probably going to have 5 more touchdowns tomorrow night. Bet the over. Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, number 1 in my NFL MVP index.
You're going with the street baller? Number 1 over
Josh
Allen?
Street baller number 1.
Why?
Did you not hear me just say?
I did.
360 yards and 5 touchdowns?
Right. What about Josh Allen? Because he had his sheet wasn't clean? Is that what you're saying?
Josh Allen turned the ball over twice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Patrick Mahomes lost his top receiver, too.
Just saying. Patrick Mahomes, I like number 1 this week.
This is great because, again, Brockman had his finger on the Chiefs are not going to be good chess piece.
Yep. Oh, for what? For months.
For months.
You moved that piece.
I put it in there and I held it.
And you held it. You held it. And then you moved it back before you
and
took
I'm
your
like,
finger
you know
off
what?
It.
I don't think so.
You had your finger on that piece.
I was like,
you moved it. You realize how unstrategic a maneuver that was?
I don't like that move.
That's what I'm saying. Brockman went from having Mahomes on Mount Rushmore to he's not going to be that good. Then
street
you kind of came back.
He's the unknown street baller.
That was me. I was the one giving quotes to the athlete.
With a paper bag over his head.
Number 1, Patrick Mahomes.
Good God. Great show, everybody, guys. Great show. I want to thank my guests today. We've got Sauce Gardner, Nate Boyer, and who was the third one? Who was here?
Marcus Matt.
I love that you
and
love.
Nathan Segura.
Okay. And Nathan Segura, to set us straight on Brownie the Elf. Words that are not said in irony, but accurately. I didn't think. Set us straight on Brownie the Elf. Okay.
Cleveland fans are upset about that Elf route.
Tomorrow's show, Willie McGinnis.
Willie McGee.
Jarrett Payton will be here because his dad, Walter, is the subject of this week's Icons on Epics.
Oh, amazing.
Which I'm voicing. So it's part of the family of the Rich Eisen show here.
Rich family.
Dalvin Cook on the phone.
Hey,
Mr. Dalvin.
And then in studio, get the Great Jews and Sportsbook ready. The first set of brothers to ever sign it. Jeff Schwartz is already in that book. Mitchell's in studio.
Yes. You think Mitchell bring us a little bit of brisket?
He better.
Brisket.
What else do you want for free? Jesus.
Brisket, by the way, brisket might be the most non-Jewish Jewish food you can mention.
But he and Stone Street trade brisket recipes.
Okay, that's true too. That was great when I called Mitchell Schwartz a member of the tribe and Stone Street's like, Chiefs. I'm like, no, that's wrong tribe. Not that tribe.
And by the way, didn't Brockman ask for free wine last week?
And he got it.
And we got it.
Okay, then.
And I'm tight with the CEO of a Bex. No, that's nice. Well done. Nice.
We'll be right back. For the real story behind some of wrestling's biggest moments, it's Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard and Conrad Thompson, too.
All-time Hogan opponents, Macho Man's got to be in the conversation. Where's Andre for you?
I've always said Andre was number one.
Wow.
Because even going back before, you know, Hulk Hogan was a babyface, Hulk and Andre were able to go in and headline at the New Orleans Superdome, at Shea Stadium in Japan. Wherever they went, that was an attraction.
Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.